Well, welcome here this morning. It's great to be here. It's great to be in the house of God and to worship the Lord. Amen? Who likes to worship God? You know, as I was preparing for this morning, I'm continuing on a sermon series that I've been going on since the summer, and that's, what does it mean to be ready for the day of the Lord? What does that look like? And so I had someone say to me, or more than one actually person, they said, well, we have to be ready for what's coming. And I never really quite understood that. Well, what does it mean to be ready? What does ready look like? How do I do ready? And so I started thinking about it. And I started to go, okay, well, what are the things that I have to pack to be ready? So we're going on a day hike together. And we've been on this day hike, we're prepared for this day hike for probably around 2,000 years or so. And we just have it's kind of like an emergency pack. It's sitting in the back room, but it's packed. We keep it clean, we keep it tidy, we look at it every day to make sure it's there, ready to go. So we're going to unpack a few of the items that we've already packed, just so we can remember. So the first thing that we put in here was a Bible. Now, we packed a Bible because this Bible represents salvation. The first thing you need to be ready for the day coming when God takes us home is salvation. The second thing that we packed in here is a pair of running shoes. These ones are well worn and used. Now, these running shoes, they represent, anybody remember? They represent just like a runner standing on the line, waiting for the gun to be fired. He's preparing himself, body, soul, and mind. He's putting all his energy into being prepared to run at any moment, sitting there anticipating the gun to fire. Running shoes, readiness. The third thing that we packed was a thermos. We packed a thermos because a thermos can keep things really hot or really cold. It's nice to have something ice cold when you're going for a hike, isn't it? Or if it's a cold day, it's nice to have something hot. But when it gets lukewarm, what do you do to it? You pour it out. So it's to remind us to be that fiery passion for God, or to be that cool love of Jesus Christ, that cold glass of water to others. But when it gets lukewarm, what do we got to do with it? Got to pour it out and refill it. So we have a thermos. I'm going to put that over here. The fourth thing that we packed in our bag was a pair of clothes. T-shirt and shorts. The garments, these are the garments of gentleness, rejoicing. They're garments of peace and praise, so that we don't have to worry. Part of preparing ourselves is clothing ourselves or getting in the right mind to not worry about the things that we worry about and let God be God. So we got one more thing we're putting in here today. So I'd like you all to go to Matthew 6, please, if you could. Matthew 6, verse 14. I'll put these down here. Matthew 6. So today is going to be a little bit heavy. So we're going to go on a bit of a journey today. But I believe on this being prepared, this is a very important piece to being prepared for Jesus coming. So Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive yours. Ouch. Now, when I think about forgiveness, or what forgiveness means, I don't necessarily think about it this way. Who else doesn't necessarily think about it that way? We kind of have this, you know, there's got to be something more in here. There's got to be some deep, so deep understanding that I don't even know what it is yet, but it's so deep. It's there. Yep, that's it. It's you know, I can still choose to not forgive people. It's my right, I'll tell you, not to let them off the hook. They've done me wrong, and I don't want to forgive them. Today I want to walk through some steps of forgiveness. Learn to forgive, even when we don't want to. Forgiveness is one of those things that is so essential to us as Christians. We need to fully understand what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a freedom from bitterness and offense. Forgiveness sets you free. So here's some different ways that we can learn how to forgive. So the first one, forgive not because you want to. So forgive regardless if you want to is a better way of saying it. So forgive, for if you forgive others when they sin against you. In our lives, we tend to look at forgiveness as something that we can choose. We make a choice to forgive or not to forgive. It's up to me to let them off the hook. I wrote a quote on forgiveness from a very wise woman. And she said, forgive regardless of the temperature of your heart. Forgive regardless of the temperature of your heart. What's being said here is that we must forgive even when you don't want to. Even if you're still full of anger, we will always want justice. And that's why we don't forgive. They don't deserve it, we say. We as a people often decide what others do and do not deserve, correct? When we watch the news and we see those men or women in the world, and we respond in like, and well, that guy should go to jail, or well, those people deserve what they got, and more. Truth be told, we deserve that too, don't we? It's easy for us to look at this verse that's so heavy. This is a heavy verse. This is not light. It's easy for us to feel so overwhelmed, so incapacitated by our own inability to love and forgive others. Forgiveness really does take all of your energy to accomplish. It takes mental toughness to walk out. It's easy to forgive in your mind, but it's the heart that we need to forgive from. To release someone of guilt, to release someone of responsibility, of reconciliation to us, to not require anything for that loss that we have received. It's easy to play forgiveness, as they say, and go home and tell your spouse about all the horrible things that happened at work. Or go to work and tell your coworkers about all the things that horrible things about your spouse. When we choose to forgive, we actually choose God over ourselves. The Lord has commanded us, forgive one another. It's an act of obedience. And the Lord honors our obedience. The word used here is aphemel for forgiveness. It literally means to let go, to give up debt, to forgive, to remit, to give up, to keep no longer. We are to give up others, the debt that others owe us, and leave it behind. To keep no longer. We are not the judge and jury, as it says. Only God is the judge. When we forgive others, even when we don't want to, we release them from our judgment. More than that, when we don't forgive, we judge them. Matthew 7:2 says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." That's Matthew 7, verse 2. Jesus also cautions us on this. Judge how you wish to be judged. Unforgiveness is just judgment. Because they are judged irredeemable of our forgiveness at this point. Forgive as you wish to be forgiven. Sometimes, and most times, we must forgive whether it's required or not. We have to, even in the hard times, choose to forgive as Christ did. I've heard of stories of parents who lost sons or daughters at the hands of others. In those moments, we can deem those who took those children away as unforgivable. You have been tried, you have been found completely irredeemable. But these parents, these stories of these parents who choose to see with God's eyes, and they forgive as they have been forgiven. They choose to forgive regardless of the temperature of their heart. And they let God be a redeemer. So the second thing that helps us is having the mind of Christ. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We reap what we sow, do we not? If we choose to forgive, God forgives us. But we actually cannot do this on our own. You and I are completely unable to achieve this. We first have to renew our minds and be like Christ. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The world tells us that we have to earn the right. We've earned the right to be mad. We've gone through all this pain. We deserve not to forgive. We have the right to not forgive others. And it's true, we do have that right. In fact, we have earned the right to not forgive others. It's completely in our nature as humans not to forgive. We as a race are very unforgiving. In fact, we hold grudges that last millennia. Just look at the tension between Israel and Egypt and Iraq, or between France and England, or between England and Scotland and Ireland. We hold grudges that are so that famous playwriters like Shakespeare, he wrote a story about the Montagues and the Capulets, two families that hated each other for generations. How that unforgiveness created literally war between the families. That's how famous our unforgiveness is as humans. So yeah, we do have those rights. But are we conforming to the world or Christ? If we use those rights, are we bending to the will of Satan or to the desires of our Father in heaven? Are we renewing our mind or doing what we know best? Put simply, the pattern of this world is not to forgive. Do not let the world define your forgiveness for others. People will look at you and tell you, "I can't believe you forgave him for what he did or her for what she did." Because the world cannot understand God's forgiveness. Because they do not have the mind of Christ. They are not renewed in their mind. Because it is not by us that we do it. It's by Jesus Christ. And it's through the blood of Christ that we can forgive. Because He is helping us. If you go to work and unload on your coworkers about your spouse, he's done this or that, the world, they will build you up and they'll agree with you. They'll tell you how hard done you are, how put down you are, and you should leave that bum. That is the pattern of this world, is it not? And it could have been over something simple, like leaving an empty milk cartridge in the fridge. It could have. Or not cleaning the bathroom. It could be something so simple. In this world that we live in, what they believe is that you are irredeemable. That's strike one. That's strike 20. Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but the interests of each of you and the interests of others. So look around you. Change to God's pattern and forgive each other. Let God's love flow through you with a renewed mind. But wait a minute, hold on. That sounds all good and fine, but you have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea how hard it is for me to forgive those people for what they've done to me. They really hurt me. They really messed me up. You know, you're right. I don't know how hard it is for you. I don't know how hard it is, your personal struggles with forgiveness. Whether it's to an aunt, an uncle, or a father, or a mother, or a friend, or a neighbor, or whatever. But I do know something very well. And I do know it with everything in me. That whatever you hold as unforgiveness in your life, God has already forgiven something that is comparable in His eyes to you. He's already forgiven something for you that is comparable to that same pain that you hold in His eyes. Because He loves you. The only way that we can properly forgive is not in our own power, but in God, the strength of Jesus Christ in us by the renewing of our mind. He is our strength. So how do we renew our mind? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have lived and died with Christ to be raised anew with Him. And now we have the mind of Christ to understand the Lord. We have the power of forgiveness in us because we have the mind of Christ. Romans 6, 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We forgive others as the Father has forgiven us. We do not do it in our own mind. Our own mind is the same as Cain, who killed his brother out of anger and spite because of his brother's sacrifice. He hated that he couldn't reconcile to God like his brother. He couldn't forgive Abel for doing it right. Genesis 4, verse 5. But on Cain and his offering, God did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. We now look to this world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We look at people through our Savior's eyes. Our Heavenly Father will and has forgiven us. We are changed people. We are no longer like Cain, but we are now like the one who came to bring us life. When we don't follow the example of Jesus Christ, we're actually living outside of our design. God has recreated our hearts to be like Jesus. We are no longer what we once were. So to live and forgive as if we were Cain leaves us in a broken relationship with God and the people around us. Often we actively walk away from what God has created us to be. It's easy to claim. I'm a sinful man, therefore I can never be perfect. Here's a good cop-out. So when I'm not perfect, I'm justified. When I decide that someone doesn't deserve forgiveness, well, that's just my old nature out of control. How easy is that to say? It's not easy to live as God created us to be. It's not easy. No one said it was going to be easy. It's fun, but it's not easy. But to live as if we are not what God recreated is to live outside your design. God made us new after salvation. And now we get to spend the rest of our lives rediscovering what we lost as a sinful man. Rediscovering the truth Jesus Christ has placed on us. The third way that we're going to go through this morning is, don't forget what God has given you and me. Verse 15 of Matthew 6. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. Part of understanding forgiveness is walking out and walking back down the path that we came to God. Looking back at the path that led us to Jesus before we met God. When we come to Christ and recognize that we are totally and completely unable to pay for our sins, no animal created or being could ever replace, ever created being could ever replace what Jesus Christ has freely given us. We are forever unable to walk into the kingdom of God, but except by the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. To remember where we have come from is to remember how much more forgiveness means to us. We are transformed into the likeness of God. James 1, 23, verse 24 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Forgiveness is an action that we're supposed to do regardless. When we don't forgive, it's kind of like coming to church on a Sunday morning. Here's a good image from James. It's kind of like coming to church on a Sunday morning. We come and we see salvation. We see the forgiveness God has given us. We ask for that forgiveness. And we soak in that forgiveness of sins. Amen? Who doesn't like to soak in the fact that we are forgiven? But then we walk out the doors and slowly the image of Christ fades from our minds. Until we cannot even remember why we should forgive our neighbor because they stole our lawnmower or something like that. Only Pastor Mark will remember that one. We forget what Christ looks like. But then we come back on Sunday and we expect God to forgive us. We expect it because He said He would. Again, we leave and the image slowly fades. Matthew 18, a man who owes a governor, he's a debtor. He owes 100 gold crowns. That's a lot of money. He owes a lot of money. He's called to pay his debt back, but he does not have it. And he stands before the judge and he says, please don't send me to jail. Don't sell my family into slavery. I don't have the money, but give me more time. I'll get it. And the moneylender says, I release you of your debt. I release you of your debt. And the man walks away free, and he walks into a servant who owes him 100 silver. And he beats the man and tells him to pay him back. And the man says, no, I don't have the money, but I'll get it. And he imprisons him He throws him in jail. We pick it up after the moneylender has found this out. He says, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I have had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. That is what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's just straight from the Word of God. Matthew 18. You don't believe me, it's there, I promise. It seems very harsh, because it is. Jesus came, he died on the cross, he was broken, he was beaten, and he gave it freely for us, that we may be forgiven. It was out of his love and mercy that he came to bring us new life, so that we can take hold of this forgiveness. And forgive others around us. He didn't make us dance for it. So why should we make our friends and family and loved ones dance for it? He didn't beat us up over it. He gave it to us while we were still his enemy. And he chose to do this before time began. 1 Peter 1, verse 20. God chose him, Jesus Christ, as your ransom long before the world began. But he now has now, but he has now relieved him to you in these last days. He's given us Jesus in these last days. He went to such a great length for you and I, for our forgiveness. He actually forgave us before we were even sorry. Jesus was there before we knew we had an offense with him. Besides Israel, of course, which was born as the promised kingdom, those who are not Israelis or Jews, it's like Jesus was already placed before we needed his forgiveness. Now, we do that to people sometimes, mostly because we want a sorry from them. We'll go to them and tell them, "I forgive you." They look around and go, "What did I do? I'm sorry, I don't remember hurting you." Because they're looking for a "I'm sorry." Jesus did it because he knew we're sorry in our hearts, but we just haven't seen it yet. He gave us forgiveness long before we ever thought we needed it. Have you ever told someone, that you'll forgive them a little bit later from now? I'll do it in a bit. Sometimes that's good for you to do. If it means you're letting it go of your heart, in your heart. So don't let yourself forget what you have personally been forgiven for. Know that whatever we hold against others, God has forgiven us for more. Because he's given us everlasting life. He's literally taken away the penalty of death for you and I. Okay, I get it. Forgive, forgive, forgive. But just please don't say forgiveness anymore. No more. How am I supposed to do this? What am I supposed to do? How do I have the mind of Christ? How do I remember in those moments when I'm angry that I need to forgive? Have you ever forgiven someone? If I don't forgive, will God still forgive me? Forgiveness looks a little different for us all, doesn't it? There's no one way that it works. I can't tell you, this is how you do it. Everyone needs to release it in their own way, in their own heart. And you know that way because you've really forgiven someone. What I hope that we can take today is that as this world draws to a close, and as we are on the cusp of the end of the world, as we have been for the last 2,000 years, in the end times, as God draws close, I hope that we can be so kind, gentle, and full of a fiery passion that we emanate God to those around us. And we choose to forgive when the world says that is irredeemable. To renew your mind comes when you realize you're no longer what you were. You are no longer that which was born in this world. You are now something different through Jesus Christ. Something far greater. The old part is gone, and Jesus Christ has replaced it. You are a new creation. Renew your mind in that truth, that you are a new creation. When that moment of anger comes, look to the cross. It's the best answer, and it seems very Sunday school answer, but Sunday school has a lot of really good answers. Look to Christ. Make that your standard. Now, I want to be clear on something. There is a difference between letting yourself get hurt over and over and over and over again by not learning to place yourself in vulnerable places. Please, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that you have to be friends after. It means you have to release them from your heart. And I'm saying this out of my heart because sometimes people think that when I say you have to forgive them, it means you have to be all buddy-buddy with them after. It's okay to let friendships go, but you still must forgive them. So don't let yourself be dragged into it and hurt by it. And the big answer, the big question, salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ came as a free gift so that we may have life and life abundantly. I believe that He gave to us without any due or cause that we may come humbly to God for our salvation freely with no need for anything but giving our lives. So the short of the long is that learning the art of forgiveness in part is working out your salvation in fear and trembling. It's realizing that the gift we have is not worth wasting and realizing what God has done for us. I don't know how many times I'm going to say that, but it's realize what God has done for us. Forgiveness is part of obedience and relationship with God. Being in a good, right relationship with God means what? Following Him. So, we're packing a bag. We've packed a Bible. We've packed runners. We've packed a thermos, and we've packed clothes. Today, we're going to add one more thing to our bag. Let's open it up and take a look. Now, what do you guys think forgiveness would represent? What do you guys think? Heart, yeah. So, forgiveness is a first aid kit. We pack a first aid kit so that we can help heal the bumps and scrapes that we might get in the journey. Sometimes unexpectedly, things always happen. And the first aid kit comes in really handy. Just as we forgive those around, you can bring healing by your forgiveness to others. You can release healing to those around you by forgiving them. Even if they haven't said sorry. So I want everybody to close their eyes this morning. We're going to take communion. Now, I haven't asked anybody to come and help, so I'd ask for 6 people to come up and give me a hand with communion this morning. And I'm going to pray as we continue on. Lord, we just thank you for this day, God. You give and you take away. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is in us. You help us to forgive. Lord, help us release others of the guilt we hold against them, Lord. God, help us to forgive and not to forget, but to learn how to forgive better, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day, oh God. We thank you for communion, Jesus. Now, just as everyone takes, and I'm going to pray over communion, actually, you guys. As we take communion this morning, I want us to be introspective. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks this bread, before he does it, a man ought to examine himself. Man or woman ought to examine themselves before he eats and drinks the cup. So this morning, let us examine ourselves.